I would ask you tonight to go with me once again to the book of Jonah. We have been engaged in Sunday evenings of this month. We've been engaged in looking at subjects from the first three chapters of this book. And now we'll look at the reaction of Jonah, as we're told in chapter 4. So I would ask you please to look with me there if you've not already turned to that passage. But I would ask you a question. Have you ever gotten mad about what's going on and really been mad in general but not sure who you were mad at, only to find out later on and realize that you were really mad at God because God wasn't doing what you thought ought to be done? Well, that's kind of what Jonah experienced. And God asked him a question. And that's the question I want us to address tonight and the reason why that question is asked. Read with me, if you will, from Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, through Jonah chapter 4, verse 4. You know, we have become accustomed in our minds to the breakdowns of chapters and verses. And they make finding things convenient for us and marking things convenient for us. But the whole record of Jonah didn't write in chapters and verses. Jonah recorded his story, and so it flows across those chapter breaks. And this one particularly needs to do that. Read with me, beginning please, at Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. And then we'll read through the first four verses through the fourth chapter. And God saw their works, that is the city of Nineveh, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do to them. And He did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Now I'm going to let the question hang there for a few moments. We will see the development of the answer to that. But you know, sometimes we sort of find ourselves getting angry at God because things don't pass the way we think they should. Remember that Jonah was a man who was a prophet. God called him, this prophet, and to send him to a place to give a specific message. Jonah didn't want to go where God sent him, so Jonah took off the other direction. He got a ticket on a boat to Tarshish. And just, that name doesn't sound very familiar, but historically that's in the area we now know of as Spain, on the Iberian Peninsula out there at the end of the Mediterranean Sea. So instead of going to Nineveh in the east, he took off and went west. And you know the story of how God had the storm, and it was a very frightful storm, a very threatening storm. Men on the ship, sailors who you don't think about being praying men, they began to pray to their gods. Jonah was down in the ship asleep. They woke him up. Listen, this is a bad situation. You need to pray. And then he told them what had happened. And the answer was, you throw me in the water, throw me overboard, and that'll calm. No, we don't want to do that. There's no other solution. Throw me overboard. And then the Bible says that God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. 3 days later, he spit Jonah up near the place where he could go to Nineveh, and he went to preach to warn people that God was, 40 days, God would destroy the city because of their wickedness. The city repented. The entire city, from the most common of citizens to the king himself, all of the people had a fast. They put on sackcloth. They repented. Who knows if God might not destroy the city if we repent. And God saw their works. God saw their actions, that they turned away from their evil way. Now I want you to notice the next part of this, because it's important that we understand the language. And the Lord repented of the evil that He had said that He would do. Now we need to understand, they had a wicked way. The people were a sinful nation. We usually think in terms of evil being sin. But this word also translates to mean the harsh thing. God didn't have a sinful, wrong way. God had promised a harsh judgment. And God, seeing their repentance, turned from doing the harsh thing that He had said that He would do because of their wickedness that had come up before Him. God wasn't making a mistake when He had threatened to destroy the city, or when He had promised. It wasn't an empty threat. He had promised to destroy the city. That wasn't a sinful thing. That was His right as a righteous God to do. But He turned from doing so because of their repentance. And chapter 4 begins with an interesting statement. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. It displeased Jonah. That word's an interesting thing. I've already talked about the details, so we'll go on to this word. It displeased Jonah. Translates from a word which literally means to spoil. God spoiled Jonah's plan. And it upset Jonah's apple cart big time. You see, Jonah had seen this city of Nineveh, the head of the Assyrian Empire, that had threatened and had captured all of the northern tribes of Israel and had destroyed the northern city and had already threatened to come into Jerusalem and to try to take Jerusalem. He knew that this was a political and a military threat to his homeland. He didn't want it spared. He wanted it removed. He liked the idea. God's going to destroy this city in 40 days. He already could just sort of taste the fact that this was going to remove this threat from his future. But then God didn't destroy the city. And it displeased. It broke to pieces Jonah's wishes. It caused his plan to be good for nothing. His ideas just weren't working. And he was angry. He was angry at the Ninevites because they weren't being destroyed. But more importantly, he was angry at God. God's mercy spoiled Jonah's plan. Now, Jonah, He already had his mind made up. His mind was made up, and that's why he ran in the first place. The interesting words in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Notice with me Jonah's reactions. He prayed to the Lord, and he said, "I pray thee, O Lord." Listen, Lord, wasn't this what I said back in my country before I ran? That's why I left my country. That's why I fled to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You know, your nature was such that I just knew you weren't going to destroy that city. And if I went over there and preached to them, they'd repent, and you wouldn't destroy them. That's why I went to Tarshish. If I didn't go preach to them, I'd let them die. Now, just go ahead and take my life. I've delivered your message, and you're not going to do what I said you was going to do. And they're going to remain a threat to Jerusalem and to Judea. And I'm going to have to deal with them later on in my life. Just go ahead and take my life now. God, you ain't doing it my way, and I know how it's going to turn. Isn't it interesting that Jonah knew more than God did? Or he thought that he did? God asked him a question. God didn't zap him. God didn't slap him down. God didn't grant his request to take his life immediately. But God confronted him. Have you ever had God confront you with a question in your mind that you had no answer for? What was his question? Doest thou well to be angry? Are you doing what's right by getting angry because I did not destroy this great city? Are you doing well to get angry at me because I've been merciful? Are you doing well to be angry? Interesting phrase. And it reminded me of another phrase, another situation. Go back into the book of Genesis with me a moment. Go with me in Genesis chapter 4, and let's read verses 5 through 7 of this chapter in Genesis. Well, I'll begin reading with verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, which was of the fruit of the ground, which he had grown as a farmer, God had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. Now that's another term. It means exactly the same thing. That he was angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Why have you got that scowl on your face? Why do you have such an angry look? Why are you so sullen all of a sudden? Why are you angry? If thou doest well," what was it that God asked Jonah? "Doest thou well to be angry? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Are you doing right to be upset because I did not accept your offering? I chose not to accept your offering, which you brought of the ground, which was cursed because of sin. And I accepted the blood offering that Abel brought. Are you doing what's right to be angry at Abel and at me? If you're doing well, you'll be accepted. If you're not, what's the cause? Sin lieth at the door. You see, brothers and sisters, when Jonah had his mind made up, when Jonah decided that he knew better than God what ought to happen, when Jonah decided God wasn't doing what was right and got mad about it, what lay at the door? What lay at the door was the same thing that often lies at the door of our heart and at the door in our life when we decide we know better than God and we get upset because God doesn't do things our way. Sin lies at the door. From the very first time that we see within a family the effect of sin, Adam and Eve had transgressed God's law. That's in chapter 3. Chapter 4 in Genesis begins with the fact that Eve conceived and bare a son, and his name was Cain. And then she conceived again and bare another son, and his name was Abel. And within that first family, we see the effects of sin demonstrated. Sin lay at the door. Jonah, hundreds of years later, was dealing with anger in the same way, was dealing with God's choice. God chose which offering he would accept, and man got angry. God chose which course of action he would take because of an offering that was made in repentance, and man got angry. You see, the real problem lay in the sin that man thought he knew better than God what ought to happen. That God shouldn't make a choice different than what man thought it would be. Jonah had his mind already made up. That's why he didn't want to go in the first place. That's why he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. He made him a booth, a lean-to, a shelter, and he sat under it in the shadow of it till he might see what would become of the city. Well, I'll just see what God's going to do. And if God don't destroy it, I'll just sit here and watch what they do. Verses 6 through 8 bring a statement, a set of statements that to me are very, very important statements. They contain a phrase that's repeated three times. They contain an idea that's a critically important idea to have a biblical world view. Now that's having a world view and having a biblical world view is often seen as being a political thing. It's not. It's a spiritual thing, because having a biblical view begins at its very core with seeing what God would choose to do in His wisdom and in His righteousness. Looking for God's hand in what's going on. Look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Jonah had gone out and made his little shelter, and he sat down under it to see what was going to happen. And the Lord God prepared a gourd vine, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Jonah was mad at God, but he sure was glad God let that gourd plant grow. I have a particular place in my backyard under a shade tree that when I'm cutting the grass, there's one little circle of shade. And I've worked it out where I ain't a real smart fella, but I figured this one out. I worked it out where I put the garbage can where I empty the clippings into the bag. I put it under the shade. You walk around for a while and you come back under that shade. You sure are glad God had that tree right there at the corner of the house where you could stand there a minute and feel relief from the heat that was all around you. All of a sudden, Jonah, sitting out there under this shelter that he built, this task that he took on, but he wakes up the next morning, and guess what? He's got company. There's a gourd vine that's grown over his shoulder. Why did that gourd show up? God prepared a gourd. Okay? Verse 7. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. This wasn't a happenstance. This wasn't just a lone worm crawling around getting hungry and eating on the gourd vine. God prepared the worm. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind blowing out of the east across the desert land, and there was no coolness involved in it. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Now, there's a God prepared a gourd. God prepared a worm. God prepared a wind. Now, folks, this wasn't the first time Jonah had been on the receiving end of God's preparation. If you look in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." You see, this story of Jonah, one of the things it reminds us is that we sit and see the moment-to-moment unfolding of things that happen. Jonah enjoyed the shade. Jonah watched the plant wither. Jonah felt the hot wind. And by the way, this vehement east wind, you remember when Moses had the people of Israel at the Red Sea? And they had come down to that place where God had brought them. They were between two mountains, two hills, two rocks. They couldn't turn this way and they couldn't turn that way. And they looked over their shoulder. They were there because God told Moses to take them to that place. They looked over their shoulder, and here come the Egyptians. Now what happened? God parted the water. How did God part the water? God sent an east wind. The east wind was strong enough to... This is a vehement east wind. We're not talking about a gentle breeze here. We're talking about a wind strong enough to part water. We're talking about wind strong enough to do what God sent it to do. God prepared an east wind. You see, Jonah came to understand that God works His plan to bring about His purpose. And God, the Creator of all things, controls the plants and the animals and the elements to bring about His purpose in His creation. Think back for a minute. When Israel was in Egypt and God began to send the plagues, what did God use in some of those plagues? One of the first things we're told was that frogs came up out of the river. And people found frogs in their kneading troughs and be like finding a frog on your kitchen cabinet. They found them in their beds until God made them go away and they all died. God sent lice upon man and beast. God sent various flies. And the interesting thing about that one was that God sent those flies upon the land of Egypt. But it specifically says that there were no flies in the land of Goshen, where Israel was. You see, folks, if God can control flies, if God can control lice, if God can control worms, if God can control plants, if God can control the wind, God can control the world in which you and I live. God prepared a gourd. God prepared. Why did He prepare them? He prepared them to teach Jonah a tremendous lesson. And that was that God had prepared Jonah to do what Jonah was watching the result of. God had prepared Jonah. God called him. God told him what to do. God prepared the fish to secure him and to bring him back, to send him to preach to the city. God had prepared him to carry a message of judgment. God had every right to judge the city of Nineveh because they were a wicked city. Yet God also had the right to forgive as they turned from their wickedness. Jonah didn't like that idea. Look what he said in Jonah chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" You know, he asked him that question again. "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" Jonah was mad because God took away his convenience. God took away his comfort. Folks, if God comes in judgment on this country and takes away the things that we find to be so normal and comfortable to us, are we going to get angry at God? I'm afraid there's a lot of people that already are. Because the nice little comfortable world that we had lived in all of a sudden got blown out. Now, our plans got spoiled. "Doest thou well?" And he said, "I do well. I got every right to be mad, to be angry, even to death." Then the Lord said, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd." You feel sorry for a gourd plant that a worm cut down, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night, and should not I spare Nineveh? You had mercy on, or you felt pity on my creation of a gourd plant, but you had no mercy, you had no compassion, you had no pity on Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. And that's where it stops. Now, I've read where that statement, there are those who seem to think that that statement that says that there were 60,000 who do not know between their right hand and their left was a statement of saying there were probably 120,000 children that weren't old enough to know, left from right. There was much cattle that had nothing to do with the wickedness of those, but they repented, and I chose not to destroy the city. You can have mercy on a gourd, but I can't have mercy on my creation when I choose to do so. Do you really do well when we decide that God doesn't have the right to do with His creation what He would choose to do with His creation? Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 15. "For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth." Jonah, it's not your will that's the issue. "It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Jonah, I raised up the gourd to display my power to you. I raised you up to show my power to Nineveh. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You see, folks, God has His plan. He prepared a gourd. He prepared a worm. He prepared a wind. He prepared a fish. God doesn't do things in an aftermath. God doesn't do things as a reaction. God has prepared His plan in the world. And I don't know what that plan's going to be yet. I don't know what God would be pleased to do. If He destroyed this whole land tonight, He would have every right to do so. First of all, because there's been enough sin that's gone on in the Midland to justify anything, to equal anything that Nineveh might have done. And yet God has chosen to this point to be merciful to us. I don't understand why God doesn't zap this, or God just doesn't wipe this. I don't understand why God just don't let that place just drop off the earth. I'm going to sit here and watch and see what God's going to do. Guess what? God knows exactly what He's going to do. And God has prepared His way of dealing with it. And you see, the real issue for us, God showed mercy to Jonah. He didn't let him drown, just drown in the sea and call somebody else. God showed mercy to Jonah in the belly of the fish. God showed mercy to Jonah under the shade of the gourd. God showed mercy to us in Jesus Christ. God has every right to be merciful to whom He wants to be merciful to. And if He doesn't work things the way we think they ought to work, we don't have any right to be angry. God has the way prepared. God will do what is right. God will do what is best. Next time you get angry, ask yourself the question God asked Jonah. Are you really, really doing well to be angry at God? Are you really doing well to get upset over something that you have no control over? Are you really doing well to get mad and frustrated over God's choices when He has every right to make those choices? Doest thou well to be angry? God doesn't tell us what happened. There's a bigger picture. We know that indeed Nineveh came and fought against Israel, and later the Babylonians conquered Nineveh and the whole city of Jerusalem. Jonah didn't know anything about Babylon at the time. He just knew Nineveh was a threat. I don't know what God's got prepared, but I know that God does what He prepares to do. And whatever He does is right when He does it. And our place is not to say, well, I'll see what God does, let me watch, but to say, Lord, You've been merciful to me. If You show mercy on those that are my enemies and my adversaries, You have every right to do so. Help me to see why. Help me to understand what You've got planned. Help me just to be the messenger that says, God will destroy wickedness, but God will forgive sinners. Folks, tonight in this world, that's our place. That's our message. God has every right to judge evil. God has every right to judge things that are against His word. His word hasn't changed. But God has said that in Jesus Christ He would forgive sin. To gourds, to east winds, to worms like me. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when He gives us rest, rather than being angry, we ought to say, praise the Lord. Lord, help us
to look upon your mercy and to know that it is mercy that you've already shown to us in Christ. And if you're merciful to those that we think are doing wrong, and you see a much bigger picture than we, help us, Lord, to preach your message of judgment upon the wickedness, but help us to rejoice in repentance when it comes. Lord, if you could be pleased, turn our land in repentance and forgive our sins. But help us to know, Lord, that you have prepared the way and we stand in what you do. You do all things well. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.